Isaiah, from your perspective, anything that stood out to you from whether it be this Sunday or the series on Luke 5?
Well, I mean, it was neat just meditating this morning. I think it's the main idea of the message, but it's sweet to think about that our job is not to be more worthy, right? That we're not trying. We do want to live in a way that is worthy, that matches up and that brings honor to Christ, but that we can't take. You know, I was just thinking about how many, I don't know if it was a picture of God's holiness and where we are, how many billions and billions of miles it would be, and imagining outer space distances, and, you know, any single thing that we could do isn't going to take us a step closer in worthiness, right? To understand that we are sinners in need of a Savior, and so that anything that we can do or add to it, it's not taking a step closer. And so the sweet spot really is kind of being humbled and saying, I'm just a sinner in need of a Savior. And so that my worth is going to be in God calling me to be in Christ. And so that's just been some sweet meditation. I'm not sure that that's an aha moment, but it's been neat thinking about.
Sure.
Yeah, I've just been thinking about the danger of self-righteousness, and in particular this morning, asking myself, why is self-righteousness such a terrible sin? Because here you have the Pharisees, and somebody was even mentioning this to me after the sermon, and you have these people that are seeking to do good, they're seeking to keep God's law, and yet ruining it by making it about themselves. And I think sometimes we self-righteousness is so bad, self-righteousness is so bad, and yet it's kind of like, take a step back and be like, well, why is that so awful that you're taking something good and you want to show it to God as something that could make him happy or earn his favor, I guess would be a better way of saying it. Because it clearly is a horrifying sin to Paul. If you think about the book of Galatians, he's like, I wish these guys would emasculate themselves. So, you know, because they're using a ritual as a means of earning favor with God. And Paul's not just like, okay, that's cute, or that's a little bit of a problem. He's like, this is a terrible sin. And then even Jesus here with, I came not to call the righteous, but to call sinners. And I think he's primarily talking about self-righteous there. So what is it about this sin that is so horrible? And what do you guys think?
I mean, it would seem like it just betrays the fact that someone isn't really aware of God, right? So that they really don't know God yet if they think that they are more righteous than they are. Not that we can't all struggle with that, because we forget that and we don't yet see him in all of his holiness. So that's going to be it's going to be a constant need to know God more. But the fact of, like, self-righteousness, though, is pride. I mean, really, it's lying about God, right? It's lying that he is different from who he is, because we think that we're closer to him than we really are.
So one reason it's terrible is it's a lie about God, his holiness, and then also the kind of salvation that he's provided. So it's like looking at the salvation he's provided and either saying it's not enough or I don't need it.
Right.
So that's a big deal, because God is not a subject. Mm-hmm. He's actually a person who wants to have a relationship with you, and also because the story is ultimately about his glory. And so in a sense, you're a liar and a thief by trying to take glory away from God. It's also self-righteousness is a horrible sin because of what it ends up doing. So, like, when I try to boast in something I've done, that actually not only doesn't glorify God, but it's not good in this world, and is actually what is at the root of so much conflict. And I often think of racism as an illustration of self-righteousness, because what is a racist trying to do but use his skin color or his cultural background as a means of exalting himself, maybe with God or in the eyes of others? But the point is, when you are trying to justify yourself, it kind of doesn't seem like a big deal when you say it, just to put it on the table. But you look at what it's done in the history of the world, and you see, wow, boasting in self divides people, it ends up, producing death.
And I was thinking too, sort of tied to that, was like, we're talking about how we're more like the Pharisees than we think. Oftentimes, I mean, rightfully so, like Pharisees are the enemy. They're the bad guys. And there's good guys in the sense of believers, followers of Christ. Right. And yet at the same time, we're like, wait a second. Huh? Yeah, it's not too far off.
Right.
And so I know there was a question that did come in regards to saying Pharisees were keeping the law, right? They're doing their best. They're doing even more than was written. But how did they do it in such a wrong way that it was like, it was damning them? It was in the sight of God. It was, it was bad in the sight of God. Sin in the sight of God.
Yeah. I think that is such a helpful question because we do tend to read the Gospels and automatically put the Pharisees in the bad guy's spot and not recognize there's a little more complexity to it in that they really arose for what we would feel like is, hey, that's a pretty good motivation. You're not wanting Israel to compromise. You recognize we got kicked out of the land because we weren't serious about the law, and now we're trying to, the Greek culture's coming in, and we're all becoming like Greeks and not caring about the law. No, we've got to get back to the law. So it's helpful to say, well, let's look again. And I think that's part of why Luke is written, actually. Luke is exposing what was at the heart of what the Pharisees did get wrong. And I think one obvious illustration of the danger of self-righteousness and what can easily happen is that the law, our obedience to the law becomes more important than the lawgiver. And so here Jesus comes, and you're like, these are good guys. They're keeping the law. They're working hard. And yet their response to Jesus reveals, no, they're actually not as good as you think because they've made it about themselves. And so here Jesus is doing obvious. I mean, it's obvious he's the Messiah. He's checking every box. And yet they so much want to be the hero of the story that they're saying, Jesus, we don't want you. We reject you. And so I think that's the danger for all, that we all face is we really want to be the hero of the story. This has been just so, I wanted to get this in here today because it's something that's almost like revolutionary to me. It's so obvious, but like we all come into this world and we basically look at this world from our own perspective. And so we picture this world as if it were a story that were primarily about us. Mm. And so everybody else exists. This is Josh's world, you know. I can't even imagine the world without me in it. Mm. You know, even when I think about death, it's sort of like, well, all these people missing me, you know. So
I've had that thought.
We kind of...
The world is such a worse place.
Yeah.
We kind of have this picture of we're the central character in the story, and we get really bothered when people don't recognize it, and we're trying to shape the world where we're the central character of the story and God is a secondary character. And so that's where I think a lot of our problems with God come in. Like when we read the Bible and we see him doing things we don't understand, we're like, but I'm the center of the story. That's kind of what we don't get about, you know, death reveals that as a lie. It's like death is like, take you out of the world 100 years from now, your great-grandkids don't even know who you are. So how can you be the center of the story, you know? You're not the center of the story. God is the center of the story. But as long as you think you're the center of the story, you mess everything up, even God's law. So God's law and repentance even and faith becomes more about, hey, these are means for me to be the hero. And the biblical story is God is the hero. God is the hero. And the story is about him. If you can just let the story be about him, you can understand everything. And so one part of the story is he is the one who provides salvation, not you. And so he's going to give you, your job is to receive. Your job is to trust that he's good and to put all that junk down that you're clinging to and open your hands so you can take the gift that he's going to give. But if you have to be the hero of the story, that's going to really bother you. And you might end up crucifying Jesus.